Intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the March 2025 copy of Southern Living Magazine. This week, we will finish up just a little bit on the Oklahoma City travel and culture feature we almost finished last week. And then we'll get on to the manatees, the magic of manatees, and meeting Florida's most loved marine mammals on their own surf. I'm reading from the magazine here. All right. Are you ready? Just to finish up what we started to discuss about these, because these restaurants seem amazing. In Oklahoma City, eat, drink, and be friendly. A new crop of talented chefs and restaurateurs brings a world of flavor and creativity to OKC. And we've got some photos here of the bar that we talked about last week, and now it's populated. It's a wider view of this bar. The bar has this green background in it. It's a sunny spot. Try the daily pastry special at Harvey Bakery and Kitchen is the caption there. And it's bustling. The bar looks to be bustling. Actually, this is not a bar. Sorry. I think it's a service counter. And there's quite a bit of food and preparation going on there with some shelves of staples in the background, packages in the background. In the foreground is a long sky blue banquette with some tables before it. And each table has a little glass vase with what appears to be a pink carnation on it. And there are some people eating there. All right. Number one, the Jones Assembly. Soaring ceilings, a giant performance stage, and a wall of garage doors that open to a massive bricked courtyard all speak to the impressive scale of this restaurant, bar, and music venue. During dinner service, an ultra-cool vibe is set with black and white movies projected on the performance stage and live music in the courtyard. The menu offers something for everyone, starting with southern appetizers like deviled eggs and cornmeal-crusted fried okra. You can also order a pizza topped with patatas bravas, chimichurri, and serrano ham, or a vegetarian wood-fired cauliflower steak served with gigantic Higante beans and alpine fondue. Number two, Mader Lau Kitchen. And that is spelled these are three separate words. Ma, M-A, Der, D-E-R, and Lau, L-A-O. Kitchen. This is for Laotian food. And there's a little photograph of some of it here. Looks like a grain and vegetable salad, I believe. And it appears to be delicious. Two-time James Beard Award nominee chef Jeff Chanchaloon, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, or Chanchaloon, pays homage to his Laotian heritage at a restaurant he opened down the street from his childhood home in the eclectic Plaza District. Everything is served family style, with nothing priced over $15. A blend of salty, sour, and spicy flavors dominates dishes like herbaceous Lao sausage and crispy rice salad. The mushroom stew with Thai eggplant, plus herbs, onion, and chilies, is a must order. 3. Harvey Bakery and Kitchen. delicate pastries served on pretty china, and overstuffed sandwiches on homemade bread are hallmarks of this modern eatery that gets extra points for its spacious dining room and excellent natural light. 4. Cafe Cacao, K-A-C-A-O, that is. Get on the online waiting list early if you want brunch at this weekend favorite, known for its hearty Latin American dishes like spicy chilaquiles. Let me spell this since I slaughtered it, listeners. C-H-I-L-A-Q-U-I-L-E-S. Chilaquiles, maybe. And Salvadorian pupusas. The mango pancakes with condensed milk and blackberry bourbon sauce are also popular. 5. Sedalia's, and that is spelled S as in Sam, E, D as in David, A-L-I-A apostrophe F. A tiny white building that's surrounded by a sea of strip malls and warehouses holds one of the city's most exciting dining experiences. Zach Walters and Silvana Arandia Walters offer an ever-changing menu of seafood small plates that have included blackfin tuna crudo with salted strawberry vinaigrette and hama hama clams with pork belly and mushroom broth. Number 6, Pearl Mesta, and that's spelled P as in Pearl, E-R-L-E, and Mesta, M as in Mary, E-S-T-A. This too has a picture of a dish, a bowl that is holding, well, let's read about it. It looks good, but I can't say exactly what it is. In a full circle moment, James Beard award-winning chef Andrew Black, who moved to town in 2007 to run the dining room at the Skirvin Hilton Hotel, now has his own restaurant, Pearl Mesta, in that same space. Opened last summer, the eatery has a menu that combines Black's Indo-Jamaican upbringing with global travels to create dishes that he describes as, quote, possibility cuisine, unquote. It's where a chef pushes the boundaries of cultures and flavors, he explains. Number 7, Bradford House. This boutique hotel, which features 36 rooms across a historic home and a motor court style guest house, is also a go-to dining spot for locals. Options include a patisserie, a bar, and an all-day cafe. Earning the state's first and only Michelin key in the fall of 2024, the 1912 Victorian building has a charming ambience with vintage photo gallery walls, pink and green velvet furniture, and distinctive wallpaper. And that's it for our article on OKC. Now we'll move on to the manatees. And this begins with a two-page photograph, and it's under the sea. So it's a sea colored under the sea. It appears as though there is certainly sunlight coming from above, so we can see these manatees. And there is one on each page. The one on the left-hand side page is looking right at us. They're brown, and they look like stuffed toys to me. On the right-hand page, we see this one swimming from the side so that we could see his or her full body. And there's some bubbles in the water. It really gives you the feeling that you really are underwater here in this teal green kind of colored water. And it says, the caption, it says, underwater marvels. Admire manatees at Crystal River National Wildlife Refuge. The magic of manatees, meeting Florida's most loved marine animals, excuse me, most loved marine mammals on their own turf, SERP. This article is by Valerie Rains with photographs by Brown W. Cannon III. And we begin. One of the first things you'll learn when visiting Florida's coastal manatee habitats is that these creatures make people emotional. Any seasoned guide you talk to will have stories of travelers returning from a swimming encounter in a heightened state, laughing, teary-eyed, dumbstruck, or odd. Even veteran ecologist Joyce Palmer, who manages the 179-acre Crystal River National Wildlife Refuge, the only one in the United States dedicated specifically to the protection of these marine mammals, can clearly recall her earliest underwater meeting while attending a work conference here back in 2007. It was the most amazing day I'd had as a biologist, swimming with manatees, she says. Palmer is far from alone in her feelings. Some 400,000 people make their way to the refuge annually, hoping to get a little face time with these intriguing animals. Whether it's their broad, wriggling snouts and wistful, wide-set eyes, the puppyish way they'll snuffle over to a human to suss them out, or their sheer size. An average adult is 10 feet long and 1,000 plus pounds. They make an indelible impact. And their ability to evoke this kind of emotional response in people might just be the key to manatees' long-term survival, even as it requires a delicate dance to prevent in-person access from becoming its own kind of problem. The Forgotten Mermaids. Manatees largely swam under the radar of public attention for decades. But thanks in part to Jacques Cousteau's 1972 documentary episode on manatees called The Forgotten Mermaids, parts of which were filmed in Crystal River, and the Marine Mammal Protection Act, which became law later that year, enthusiasm for these creatures began to swell. By 1975, they were named the official marine mammal of Florida. While they have no natural predators, manatees have very specific biological needs. Consistently warm water and a steady supply of seagrasses to eat that make them vulnerable to habitat loss and to dangerous interactions with boat propellers as they migrate to their seasonal safe havens. The residents and refuge stewards of Crystal River are working hard to address both threats. But first, some geography. Crystal River, the town, sits on Kings Bay on the Gulf Coast of Florida, about 80 miles north of Tampa. Crystal River, the waterway, is about 7 miles long and connects Kings Bay to the Gulf of Mexico, or Gulf of America. Populations of West Indian manatees have long included Kings Bay in their annual migration routes because it stays reliably at 72 degrees. It's warmed by dozens of natural underwater hot springs, and due to the aquatic vegetation that grows along its bed. By the mid-1990s, however, pollution, invasive plant species, and one particularly devastating storm had left the area unable to support most marine life. A delicate ecosystem. In 2012, the local nonprofit Save Crystal River formed with an ambitious mission to clean up the waterway and restore this habitat. The multi-year effort wasn't easy or cheap. Hundreds of millions of pounds of algae and debris first had to be removed with giant vacuums before 500,000 individual clumps of eelgrass could be planted by hand across the riverbed. But it paid off. While the refuge's seasonal surveys in the early 1990s counted only a few hundred manatees in Kings Bay, in the last few years, upwards of 1,300 have returned to eat, rest, calve, congregate, and wait for the surrounding ocean temperatures to rise to a tolerable range, making these the largest winter gatherings of these animals in natural habitats anywhere on Earth. A plan to facilitate more responsible encounters also took shape. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service now requires commercial tours of the refuge's waters to screen an educational video that demonstrates passive observation techniques. No touching, hovering, or descending below the water surface for a closer look. And outlines the laws that protect manatees from harassment before departing. Within the refuge, 7 sanctuaries covering 40 acres are closed off to humans from mid-November to the end of March. And listeners, we have on the next page some photos, the first one of which bleeds onto the page that we were just on, which is an aerial view of several manatees, appears to be about 50, along a undulating coastline, a rocky coastline that waves through, and there are also swimmers or divers, about 10 of them that are scattered throughout. Then there's one photo of a sunset, some homes on this bay, it appears to be a bay, with a little island in it of trees in the foreground, and a bird that appears to be a hawk flying above the sun. The sun is setting low. And then there's a photo of 2 young women paddleboarding. One's wearing a wetsuit, one's in casual shorts and top, and they are paddleboarding on yellow paddleboards through a swamp here. That looks pretty. And there's a photo of 2 manatees swimming just beneath the surface of the water. One appears to be looking up from the water, and one appears to just be looking straight ahead, floating in the water. And finally, there's a photo of a woman who appears to be a forest ranger. Oh, we'll see who it is. I think she's the caretaker here. The director, she's the head of the wildlife refuge, listeners, which we'll read about. She's in uniform, and she is against this swamp background, a really pretty-looking swamp of very tall ferns and tall, I think they're cypress trees because those grow in water, but I can't say for sure. And then there's water behind her. And here's the caption of the photos, clockwise from left, which is starting from the first one we just described. One of several manatee sanctuaries at Crystal River National Wildlife Refuge, Kings Bay, a haven for many types of birds. Exploring Three Sisters Springs with Hunter Springs kayaks. Oh, I call them paddleboards because they're standing up paddling, but all right. Gentle giants that come here in droves for the ideal plant life and water temperatures. That was our picture of the 2 manatees. And finally, Joyce Palmer, the head of the Wildlife Refuge. On the next page, we've got another photograph that's closer up of Kings Bay with the divers. They all seem to be floating there. There are about 4 or 5 of them. And then there's a picture of a bunch of pink flamingos and a picture of some 3 plates of food on a wooden table. And then a picture of the front of a house, part of the front of a house, with a wooden porch and wooden steps going up to a wooden porch and windows all along the front. And someone is sitting there. The caption. of these photos. View manatees at Three Sisters Springs. Find flamingos and other wildlife at Homosassa Springs. Cattle dog coffee roasters is a morning favorite. And finally, go to Wallace's at the greenhouse for Caribbean-inspired bites. That's that place with the porch. Okay. It all adds up to make this one of the most hospitable, human-adjacent places for manatees, and one of the most thoughtfully managed environments for observing them in the wild. Other species are benefiting as well, including fish. Maria Bienkowski, Vice President of the Save Crystal River Board and a longtime resident, has seen the ecosystem start to rebound right from her own backyard. Sheepshead were gone for years, but now they're back. I even saw a stingray the other day, she says. Inspired by this passion for preservation, my partner, Tim, and I visited Florida's Gulf Coast last February to feel the manatee magic for ourselves. Face to face, less than an hour after arriving in Crystal River, Tim and I were already shimmying into wetsuits in the parking lot of Hunter Springs Kayaks and preparing to paddle out to one of the several nearby manatee hotspots. The suits are passive observation aids that help boost swimmers' buoyancy. It was partly cloudy but still warm when we set off through Kings Bay in our kayaks, led by our guide, who was piloting a stand-up paddleboard for a better angle on manatee activity below the surface. At first, it seemed like we might be out of luck. The area we were passing through had recovered well during the initial restoration, but a recent hurricane had delivered a setback, flooding the bay with salt water and burying some of the newly planted grasses, so the visibility wasn't great. Tim and I made sure to appreciate what we could see. Tough-looking pelicans keeping watch from their perches, mullets splashing all around us, and a pair of cormorants twining their necks together in a treetop. At a site called Jurassic Spring, we spotted a tight cluster of snorkelers and hung back, waiting for them to disperse. As with many things in life, our patience was rewarded. Once the group had moved along, we made our way over and slipped out of our kayaks. The water was much clearer there, and the sky overhead was suddenly brighter. Then I saw her, a single, massive, majestic mama, suspended a few feet from the surface, just floating. With my hands tucked into my armpits, both for warmth and as a reminder not to splash, I drifted nearby, transfixed by her stillness and her size. At one point, she brought her face close to mine, and it felt like we inhabited our own private snow globe, with sparkles of sunlight standing in for glittery faux flakes. Eventually, the cold got to me. What's warm for a manatee can still give the average human a chill. And I hoisted myself out of the water just as our guide poured cups of hot cocoa from a large thermos balanced on the deck of his paddleboard, noting proudly, "All the big boats do this, but we're the only kayak tour that does." Paddling back to the dock, I couldn't quit grinning. At the hotel that evening, Tim and I streamed the Cousteau documentary, imagining what it felt like to capture these creatures on film for the first time, and amazed by our luck to have seen them too. Memorable encounters. The next day, we tried a different type of manatee excursion, a small group boat ride through Kings Bay with swimming stops wherever they could be found. Humans should swim only in the vicinity of active manatees, never resting ones. a nuance that can be tricky to discern since their daily routine in winter is decidedly low-key. We knew we had arrived at our destination when we saw half a dozen other anchored boats and a swarm of brightly colored snorkel tips bobbing alongside a roped-off section of King Spring, like a handful of confetti spilled in the sea. For all the diligence of instructional videos and dutiful repetitions of best practices, the fact of the matter is, when you're plopped into a small space with 50 other people vying for the same sighting, maintaining the perfect float position and proper viewing distance without taking an accidental foot to the face is a challenge. But because tour operators feel pressure to deliver the goods, the common practice is to go where there'll be a sure thing, which often means crowds. After reaching the designated area, Tim and I stayed off to the side, scanning the murky water and trying to be as still as possible. Every few minutes, a manatee would emerge seemingly out of nowhere, invisible and then suddenly so close to size up his or her admirers. The poor visibility is no issue for them. They rely on fine, sensitive hairs called vibrissae. That's V-I-B-R-I-S-S-A-E. That cover their faces and bodies to navigate and investigate their surroundings. More than once, a manatee approached for a better look at one of us, quote-unquote, and we couldn't help but relish the sustained eye contact, even if we knew it was essentially one-sided. For all the care put into ensuring safe, non-stressful encounters, the system isn't perfect, and there are some manatee enthusiasts who believe people shouldn't be getting into the water with them at all. Fortunately for anyone who'd rather not take the plunge, there's Three Sister Springs, a jewel-like one-acre body of water surrounded by a sliver of forest and featuring a wooden boardwalk. With Palmer as our guide, we circled the spring on foot as she pointed out several new arrivals, mostly orphaned calves that had been transported from area rehabilitation centers and released only a few days prior. We paused at an observation deck to watch a mother and baby manatee resting in a shallow spot, the little one keeping close by her mama's side. Palmer told us two of them might remain here straight through until the next winter, a common practice for mothers and calves who tend to stick together for the first couple years of the young one's life. As the late afternoon sun played on the turquoise water, I almost wished I could do the same. And that's our time for today's episode of Southern Living. We hope you enjoyed it, and we hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired, and this broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. So long until next time.